We worship you. You are the Most High. And Lord, there is none that can compare with you. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand as we gather to share your word. I recognize my limitations and my frailty. And so, Father, I ask you, under the covering of my fathers, under the Lordship of Jesus, for fresh mercy, fresh unction, to, Lord, enable me to teach and preach this word. Lord, as my fathers would, in simplicity, with purity and clarity, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the comfort and love of the Spirit of God, causing, oh Lord, an internal, eternal work to be wrought in all our hearts and lives, including my own. Our wills must submit it to your will. Our minds further illuminated with revelation, insight from the Holy Spirit. Our emotions further controlled by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. So we will be transformed, Lord, and not be the same, in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth, Father, we pray that, Lord, your power will back that word everywhere it goes. Let yokes be broken. Let veils be torn and removed. Help us to see you more clearly. Follow you more nearly within the veil, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I also pray, Lord, for mercy to enable me to be faithful, to be concise and precise, not saying unnecessary things, redeeming the time and bringing forth out of the treasure of your word things new and old, to the praise of your glory and the honor and the blessing of my fathers. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Before we go into the word, once again, I recognize that I'm standing here because of the love and the sacrifice and the faithfulness of my fathers. And I want to give honor to them. Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you very much, Mommy, for your investments over the decades, and choosing the path of God when it was most unpopular. And thank you so much for setting us on the path of destiny. I wonder where I would be without you. God bless you. Amen. God bless you, sir. May you reap the travail of your soul over yourself and your seed and all your generations, and be satisfied in Jesus' name. Amen. And we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And I'm trusting God to help me this morning. Amen. So you pray for me. Amen. And in our last lesson, we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I beg your pardon, verses 8 to 11. Let's just look at it very quickly. I'll just do a recap. All right, let's read it together. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Next verse. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Next verse. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Amen. And we saw in our last lesson that as Christians privileged to be living in this time of the manifestation of the glory of God, the glory of Christ is being released upon his church in this set time. That's the time we happen to be born. Another time we happen to be alive. We are really privileged. The apostle is encouraging us very strongly to press toward the mark. He says we have not been appointed unto wrath. We have been appointed to inherit the glory. And we need to keep that end in sight. And we said two main things we brought out last time that we need to do. We need to maintain an attitude of reverence. Reverence being sincerity, speaking the truth to yourself in your heart, and humility to set spiritual fathers. And that actually is very important, because you know it is through them that you get to know God. It is through them that you get to really understand the Word of God. The Word of God is a closed book. You need light to open it up, and it is in their light that you get light. So your attitude to them is extremely critical. So apart from that reverence, you also need to be diligently practicing their instructions. And it's the combination of that attitude. Remember, Jesus Christ was heard in that he feared. Okay, that attitude and the diligence that generates a sufficient amount of the power and the wisdom of God to enable us to put on the armor of love. And that armor of love shields us from the abounding iniquity that is already in the air. So we are cocooned, as it were, you know, in that love. That's why he says we are of the day, because we have light. that armor, that wisdom illuminates our understanding. So we see what God is saying. Even though we are surrounded by darkness. Amen. We have light because we are following the light of this world. Amen. John chapter 8 verse 12. So anybody who's following the light will have the light of life. And that light of life is shining on the inside so you can see what Jesus will do in this situation. So when things come, you interpret it in the light of what God is saying. Amen. And you don't just take the situation at face value. Very important. And then you also are growing in divine love. And that growth in divine love is very important because as you will see, you know, that is the secret place of the Most High. Look at Psalm 91 verse 1 to 4. Give me verse 1 to 4. Just read it quickly. Let's read it together. Are we together this morning? Amen? Right. It says, he that dwelleth. How many people are dwelling there? Alright. But so you need to know what you need to do. Alright. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Next verse. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Next verse. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. So he delivers you. That love you are walking in under the covering of the fathers delivers you. Next verse. He shall cover thee with his fire. That same love covers you. So you are delivered. So even though Satan is allowed to attack, you are delivered. Say amen. And then you are covered. Amen. So you don't bear the full brunt because the armor is in place. And what's more important, you can also now put the devil back on the defensive by attacking with your with the offensive armor. Because the armor is 7 items. We saw that last week. The belt of truth. Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The breastplate of righteousness. The shield of faith. The helmet of salvation. The sword of the spirit. And praying with all kinds of prayer. With those last two, put the devil on the run. The first 5, take the brunt when Satan attacks. So you are still standing. Bible says, having done up, stand therefore. And the next two now cut short the affliction that he has brought and turn it around. Bible says, God causes all things to work together for your good. So it now works for your advantage. So we say, thank you for that. And then next, away from the next time, and then next time, he helps you along the path of destiny. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 9. Same Psalm 91. Psalm 91, verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Next verse. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. So, because love is in front and center, and that's what the apostle is saying, make the love of God front and center in your Christianity. That's what he's saying. You know, so you are, as it were, cocooned in that love, and you are getting closer and closer to your purpose, which is the glory. So anything Satan does helps you along the way. You can now understand why he says you are unstoppable. That your gains in love are unshakable. And that love, because it's called, is surrounding you, you are untouchable. It's a reality because you are walking. Look at Psalm verse 14. To 16. So read the same Psalm 91 to understand. It says, because he has set his love upon me. Let's read together. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on her. Because he had no man. It's experiential. Next verse. Next verse. He shall call upon me and I will be with him. I will what? From the trouble. And so he will use the trouble to honor you. Say amen. Your trouble will honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Last verse. With long will I and show him mine. That is the fullness of the salvation. Inherit the glory and use the glory to finish the work of being a witness to every tribe and tongue. And then cut the age short and we go home. That's God's plan. Amen. So this is the reverence and the diligence. Let's say together. Reverence and diligence, or diligent practice of the instructions. Okay, and there, so there are three things we ended up that you need to keep in view. Number one, you need to keep the goal in sight by copying the example of apostolic and prophetic fathers God has set in the church. That's extremely critical. That's how you keep the goal in sight, because you don't know how Christ is. He is the way, but you don't. It's the only people that have gone further along the way that can show you the way. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 to 2. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Thank you. Hebrews 12. Do you see what this means? Let's read together. Do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blazed the way, all these veterans cheering us on. That's the cloud of witnesses. It means we better get on with it. Strip down. Start running. And never quit. No extra spiritual fat. No parasitic sin. Next verse. Keep your eyes on who both began and finished this race we are in. So we're going to begin and finish. Amen. Study how he did it. Because he never lost sight of where he was headed, that accelerating finish in and with God. Amen. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. And your place is prepared right there. Amen. Amen. All right. So that's the will of God. So we saw that last week, you know. And so the first thing is to keep that inside. Second thing is to encourage one another with God's word. And the Bible says these things were written for our admonition unto whom the ends of the age are. So we need to encourage ourselves that, and see things in the light of the word of God that God has shared with us, so that we're not discouraged. Rather, we are encouraged. Amen. And you know, that's extremely important. Look at Romans chapter 4, chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, 13. Give it to me in the Amplified, please. Okay. Yes. Now the God of hope. I want it in Amplified, please. Thank you. Now this is going to be the same thing anyway. Right. Now, okay. May the God of hope, may the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the... That's why the prayer is very important. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling over with hope. And that hope will be the answer to when the devil points and says, Shebi, you don't have this. Shebi, this one has not come yet. You have a hope on the inside that's shining bright and bright, so you can keep going on. That's the will of God for us, okay? And then finally, we need to edify and we need to, wash one another's feet. It says edify ourselves in love. And that's extremely important. We need to, with what pastors taught us, we watch and we pray. We consciously acknowledge the presence of the Holy Spirit with thanksgiving, and asking for mercy to enable us to be faithful, to walk in love, and then to forgive the sins of others. Bible says, whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. So you remit people's sins. You ask life for them. You pray for them in tongues. Bible says, building up ourselves in our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We keep ourselves in that love. That's the will of God for us. So those are the three things. Keep looking at the fathers, keep encouraging one another, and at the same time, keep walking in love. That walking in love is because you are washing each other's feet actively. So there is no blot or sin, and life can flow to everyone grass in the field. Amen. Now, looking at verse 12 to 15, by the grace of God, let's look at that. Let's read it together. Verses 12 to 15. All right. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very, very in for their work's sake. So you respond to the love with love. Amen. And be at peace among yourselves. Next verse. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. What's he saying here? He's saying that first you must recognize those in authority over you who labor. That's the number one characteristic. They labor. It is that labor that allows them to be set over you. You know, and then you esteem them very highly because you recognize how important they are to where you are and where you are going. Amen. And when you do that and you respond in love, then you plug yourself into destiny. Then you also need to relate with all manner of brethren around you. So that armor of love that we are putting on is vital. Because we love those in authority. We love those at your level. Because just as you are sandpaper to somebody, somebody is sandpaper to you. And just like somebody is forbearing you, you also have to forbear others. You also have to forgive others. You also have to be patient with others. You also have to be kind to others. You have to have discipline others. That's the truth. So that together we keep that bond of love. The Bible says the bond of perfection. It's charity. You keep that bond, and that bond brings unity. And the unity brings the glory, as we'll see. So that's what he's saying, generally speaking. Now, going back to verse 12, give it to me in the Amplified. We'll see how far God takes us today by the grace of God. Amen. Now also we beseech you, brethren, get to know those who labor among you. Recognize them for what they are. Acknowledge and appreciate and respect them all. Your leaders who are over you in the Lord. And those who warn and kindly reprove and exhort you. Very important. This is a very important instruction. It can't be overemphasized. Why is the apostle begging? He's begging because there are grave consequences if you don't do it. So he's begging. Please, I beg you. You know what? You know, the way you beg somebody when things are vital, anything you do, please don't leave the kettle on. Don't leave the iron on. Please check everything again. Switch off the light. Please, I beg you. You know, because we are traveling to Lagos and you don't leave anything, please check the gas. Check it again. Check the switch. Make sure everything is off. Please, I beg. You know, why are you begging? You don't need to beg. You are begging because we cannot afford to go to where we are going and come back and then there is no house. The consequences, that's why he's begging. The consequences are too grave. And so, it's important for us to take it very seriously what he's saying. Amen? So, they labor in three areas. One, they labor in prayer by the life of God. Second, they labor in the word and in doctrine. And thirdly, they labor in love. That's the labor that we're going to look at it in detail, but that's generally speaking, that's the labor that we want to highlight. That's the labor. They don't labor in going from one place to another, you know, and all that. They labor. This is the labor. Because if you don't rightly identify what the labor is, we'll call some other things labor, and they're not labor. Let's look at it, what this Bible says in the Word of God. So they labor in groaning or deep intercession. This is extremely important. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans, we know these scriptures, but we need to go over it because it's a Bible study. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself, says itself, but he's a person, himself maketh intercession for us with what? It's not tongues. Groanings which cannot be uttered. So it's not an articulate language. Now, they do this. You had the other day, what day, 9 hours, average of 8 to 9 hours a day. I don't know how many you pray, but that means that's on the average. Some days are 14, 15, you know. Some days are slightly less because of physical activities that they need to do. But that's the labor intercession. And that labor flushes out the sin nature from their soul and their body. So they are more mature. The Christ is formed in them to a greater degree than in you. So that's why the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, it says, follow me or imitate. The Greek word is mimetes. imitate me as I imitate Christ. Because they can see clearly. They're not seeing through a glass darkly. They're beginning to see face to face. They are friends of God. And if they kneel down and pray, they can decide stop about you. Between them and God. And you won't be there. So it's good to be in their good books. Don't you think it's good to be a good book? It's very, you know, to be so that the day you need help, the help will just, everything will just fall in line for you by the mercy and the grace. The Bible says, obey and submit. Because they watch for your souls as they that must give account. So they do it with that gravity. So they are praying for themselves and their family. They're also praying for you and me. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Amen. Thank God they're praying. Amen. Everybody say, thank God they're praying. It says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again. They did it once to get you born again. They're doing it again to cause you to be conformed until Christ be formed in you. So Christ is birthed in you. Christ is formed in you. And then Christ must manifest in you. And they are watching over that entire process. Watchmen that don't go to sleep. And when there happens to be something going on, they will come and tell, they will admonish you. They will bring, either they bring a word or they come and meet you personally if you're close to them and tell you, this is not in place, this is not in place. That's their responsibility. They are watching for your eternal good. That's extremely important, okay, to recognize that, you know. And a good example here is Epaphras, Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Verse 12. Give it to me in Amplified, please. Thank you. Epaphras, who is one of yourselves, okay, a servant of Christ Jesus. Notice that there's no title. The highest you can be is a servant. A servant is the greatest. You cannot be greater than a master, you know. Oh, okay, so a servant sends you greetings. He's always striving for you earnestly in his prayers, pleading that you, as persons of ripe character and clear conviction, stand firm and mature in spiritual growth, convinced and fully assured in everything willed by God. You stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. That's their desire. And that's why that intercession, you know, is key, because, you know, it leads us to the next thing, labor in the word. Now, that labor, you know, because they are on the mountaintop, they can now get fine, distilled word. So, the word they bring, now, first of all, this is talking about leaders generally in the church. Okay? You're talking about pastors, evangelists, teachers. But in particular, there is emphasis on the apostle and the prophet. And we'll see why. In Jeremiah 3:15, the Bible says that I'll give you pastors after my own heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding. But that's not all we need. We need wisdom. We need instruction. No, and that is where it's coming from the apostles and the prophets. So the pastors, and they can give you knowledge and understanding, but the question is, how are you going to do what they said to get the benefit of what they are saying? So that this is the key. And so they bring what the Bible calls epignosis. Look at Isaiah 25, verse 6. In the Amplified Bible, Isaiah 25. But it was precise, exact, complete knowledge about healing, about protection, about being born again, about baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, about obedience, about prosperity. They bring you the mind, the Bible says, the whole counsel of God. They don't leave anything out. So, and that is important for you to stand sure on the foundation of the Word of God. Amen. And that's why they are the foundation. Know that God is building the church upon. Let's read it together. And on Mount Zion, on this Mount Zion, shall the Lord of hosts make for all peoples. So this ministry is irrespective of geographical border. It's not geographical border. It's going beyond anywhere where the word can go, on the airwaves, in the place of it. Because they've already, you know, understand, they've already gone to pray. They are operating from the place of prayer. You understand? And that's the beginning. Say, on this Mount Zion shall the Lord of hosts make for all peoples a feast of rich things, symbolic of his coronation festival, inaugurating the reign of the Lord on earth. in the wake of a background of gloom, judgment, and terror. That sound familiar? In the background of gloom, they bring you a message that is like, wow, you mean God can reign over this? You mean God? They introduce you to a triumphant, victorious, dominating, the kingdom of God. You know, that's their message, it's kingdom. You know that, look, God is going to reign on all this. He will. So it's a word that when you hear, your ears tingle. Your hearts burn. It's like, wow, really? A feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow. Or wine on the lees, when you listen to them, you live and your stomach is full spiritually. You are fed. You are fed. You understand? Wow. Yes. We are. Where's the devil? because they have by the grace of God dropped a word. You know, there's some words that when fathers drop 20 years down, like you can remember. Pastors keep saying it up to 40 years after. What has Jehoshaphat gone to do in the house of Ahab? He had it from Pastor Pyotin. The message of life, light, and love was from Kenneth Copeland in 1980. And so many things that we have heard of our fathers. When you talk about what is love, if I ask you, what is love? Love is eternal willingness to do eternal good. Amen? Exercised by wisdom and patience and manifest in acts of kindness and discipline. Where have you heard that before? The Bible says the words of the wise, they are as nails, you know, they are as golds, nails put together by the master of assembly. You know, when you hear some things, it just says, wee, like a rock. You know, so man, clear, precise, and authoritative, you know, and well refined. So this is it's that word that they bring that takes you, because they are the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher lay the foundation of the former reign. They give you the doctrine of being born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, healing, deliverance, you know, and protection and all that. They just some heal all that prosperity. They give you that. But that is what you walk in that, and then get to a point where God gives you a permit. He sees how far you've done with that. Okay, now says, okay, now you're ready. Let's take you now, zip, now stretch you to the next level. And then you now become the child of the apostle and the prophet. They now pick you up and take you across into perfection. And that's why. And look at Luke 6:45. We know the scriptures. I'll just mention it again. The Bible says, you know, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring it for good. He's talking about a treasure, but what he's talking about is the treasure of wisdom and knowledge. Deep revelation that is going to enable you to enter into the destiny that God has prepared for us. And that's so we call it the fruit of good treasure. Look at Acts chapter 20, verse 19. Acts 20, verse 19. Let's look at it quickly. Give me to me verse 19. Yes, let's read together. Serving the Lord with all that humility. This is it. That humility is coming from the intercession. To pull down strongholds, cast down my soul, that they now have a meek and lowly heart. And then they are now entrusted with the nuggets, with the treasure. The Bible says it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. It's the honor of kings to search it out. So they search it out and they come and serve you. And serve me. Amen. Thank God for them. Amen. So it's important to see that this is what they do. And with many tears and temptations which befell me. So they are serving God with humility amidst a lot of opposition. Move on. Let's jump to verse 26. Same Acts 20. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. This is a warning. It's a warning. And it's very, and that's why the apostle is beseeching and begging. Because whatever you do with what you hear It's going to be your responsibility. We're going to listen in Jesus' name. Amen? That's the will of God for us, all right? And that's what we're going to do. Look at verse 28 as we move on. Verse 28. For I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. It's the will of God, okay? So they don't preach a particular part. They don't omit anything. They give you the whole counsel. That's why it's precious. Because you need a balanced diet to grow. You need carbohydrate, you need protein, you need fat, you need vitamin, you need minerals. You don't need message that will only be giving you minerals. Where is the protein? A message that's only giving you vitamin. Or a message that's only giving you fat. Or starch. Where is the protein? So the key, there is malnutrition in the body. Because of every kind of word that you hear all over the place. But from these fathers, you get a pure ministry. Hallelujah. And that promises to give you a balance so that you can grow. Bible says in verse 32, look at it. Verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. It's not every word that does this. It is the word that comes from fathers. Only. Very important. Do you understand that? Alright? Alright? And of course, in Ephesians 2:20, the apostles and prophets, they establish our spiritual foundation. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. But the apostle and the prophet, their job is to establish your foundation. So you're not going back and forth anymore. You're now fixed. Then you're going to build on top. That's why, you know, they're targets for the devil. I'm getting ahead of myself. But targets for the, because the devil knows how important they are. God has invested so much in them. And so much lies on their shoulder. And that's why we need to also make sure that we support them and we carry them along. All right, look at an example in Jesus Christ. John chapter 7, verse 46. Let's give that to me quickly. John 7, 46. And they told them to go and arrest Jesus. And see what he said. The officers answered and said, they asked him, in verse 45, they asked him, where is he? He said, oh God, never man speak like this man. Look at Luke 4:36. They were supposed to pick him up, but they were like, wow. Wow. And as he was preaching, the word was resonating in their hearts. And Luke 4:36. Thank you. Luke 4:36. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? How many times have you said that? What a word. Amen. For with authority and power, he commands the unclean spirits and they come out. This case now, the unclean spirits is not spirits that are oppressing us. It's attitudes, habits. You just find yourself changing. They turn you away from disobedience and they bring you to the wisdom of the just. Amen. All right. So you yourself recognize inside you that, man, that's a man of God. No. I'm not on the same level. You listen to some people, you can't remember what they said. But this man, no, is the man of God. Because you can see the change. A man with an experience always has an available man with an argument. You can argue all you want. I've experienced this. Amen. And then they labor in the love of God. Okay, look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11 to 12. They labor in the love of God. Amen. Labor in love, Hebrews 6. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Next verse. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So they set the standard of diligence. You may think you are diligent, but when you look at them, then you understand, you redefine diligence. Jesus would pray all night, come and meet disciples in the boat, tell them to the other side, and he continues walking and say, you boys are tired, you need to. They're not doing any work, they're only following him. They are only following him until he sent them out. But they were only following him, you know, and said, okay, you go. you know, and when they go on the boat and they are sleeping, he goes up to go and pray. How many times when you are sleeping, they are awake? So this is the name. Amen. You give God a clap. Amen. So this is the labor. This is the labor that, and is that labor, they pay a great price. You heard Paul say, talk about temptations and trial in self-denial, in sacrifice. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3. Let's read it from verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. To have a blameless ministry, to have a pure ministry over 35 years, like we have in this house. Praise God. On by the mercy of God. Thank God for our fathers. Amen. Father, we just thank you. We worship you for the example and the love and the sacrifice and diligence of our fathers. Amen. You can see next verse. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. How do you approve yourself? The size of your jet? How many cars you have parked in your pool? How do you approve? The number of people in your church? This is how God is looking at you. This is what is God's yardstick. He says, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. Next verse. In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. Next verse. Without that, you won't get this. By what? Pureness. By revelation knowledge. By fruit of the Spirit. By fruit of the Spirit. By personal fellowship and friendship with the Holy Spirit. By. That's how you get it. If you don't go through that and you are sitting on easy street, praise God. But you're not going to get this. Because it's through more tribulation we enter into the kingdom. Amen. All right. So it's interesting. And then they end up with a pure motive. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. Verse 14 and 15. Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, for I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. This is God's justice. No, when people. I know the same Paul said, no, does God care for the oxen? Yes, the same Paul is saying that we seek not yours, but you. So their motive is clear. They want to save you. It's not yours. It's you. And sometimes if you give them something and you're not right with God, they will return it. And tell you, get your act together. You know, so that you won't try and use what you're giving them to bribe them. Their eyes, they are single. It's not common. It's not common. But this is the will of God. And this is why they are few. They stay on the altar of sacrifice. They don't get up. They stay and they die to self. So God wants us to appreciate. This is this labor that qualifies them to be set over you and admonish you. That's how God does it. Okay? And they can admonish us in love. All right? And if we look at in the church, we see examples of spiritual fathers. Peter, Paul, obviously Paul, Apostle John. Talk about Jude. In the Bible, you can see the early church fathers, Polycarp. We know of church fathers. And at the turn of the century, after the Azusa Street revival, we see God restoring fatherhood back in the body of Christ. We see E.W. Kenyon. We see Smith Wigglesworth. Amen. You see Kenneth Hagin. You see Kenneth Copeland. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Team ministry. Amen. In Nigeria here, you see Pa S.G. Elton. And then you see by the grace and grace of God, you see our own fathers. Amen. Let's give God a clap offering. Amen. We see our own fathers. When there is so much, I remember 1993, and there's so much darkness. And they came out and declared what? Nigeria is not going to break apart. And all the prophets were saying they're going to break. Everybody, people are running, people are going back to the east, coming back to the south. And here we are today. Nigeria is still one. And will continue to be one. That's like Elisha. When there's a problem, those are the people that take control. Amen. So this is what God is doing, all right? And this is what God wants us to understand, that these fathers, so having understood that, you know, and that this is who they are and their impact on our lives, we are now able to esteem them very highly in love. As we begin to close, how do you do that? You know, because it's important to, there's some things we must realize. The first thing is Exodus chapter 17. We see the story of Moses, Aaron and Hur going up to the top of the hill. And we see Joshua on earth, on the ground, fighting Amalek. And, you know, when Moses' hand was up, Joshua was having victory. When Moses' hand was down, when Moses was weary, Joshua was losing, irrespective of what Joshua was doing. Therefore, they had to find a stone, and then Moses sat down on the stone, and then Aaron and Hur held up his hands. The same way, two things: spiritual comfort, physical comfort, that represents the stone, and then of course standing with them as companions in the place of prayer is extremely important. You know, so you understand that. So what they do is determine the victory you are enjoying in your life through their intercession, you know, through the nourishment that they provide. Okay, and that's very important. And then also, if you look at Isaiah 51 verse 1-3, we'll turn here. Isaiah 51 verse 1. You see also here that fruitfulness flows from God to you through them. Hearken unto me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Next verse. Look unto Abraham your father. It's a team. That's what God is doing now. Team ministry. Okay? And unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone. Two are one. Amen. And blessed him and increased him. Amen. In that place of sacrifice, he blessed him and increased him. And then you and I are now the beneficiaries. Amen. Look at verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort Zion and comfort all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found there in thanksgiving and the voice of melody. That's what God is doing. So that when you see that, then when you understand that fruitfulness, that victory is coming, then it's just you, when you understand that's where it's coming from. You're doing what you're doing, but without what they're doing, it will not be enough. So you then respond. How do we respond as we begin to close? You pray for them and for their families. We travel regularly. Nothing must happen to them, and nothing will. In Jesus' name, nothing will. Amen. But you don't just, it's not amen and with mouth alone. You put your mouth where your prayer is, and you pray and make sure, both corporate prayer and individual prayer. Amen. Find time to pray. No prayer is too small. Please, Lord, please help me preserve my fathers. Amen? It's very important. Two, we give our tithes and offerings generously so they can focus on the kingdom and things of the kingdom. Everything, there's enough money to do all that God has asked them to do. That's our response. And that, you know, again, by the mercy and grace of God, is the season of mommy's birthday. Mommy's asking us, again, they are pointing us not to themselves. They are pointing us to the work of the kingdom. That, look, this is what God wants to do. First, we learned to pray. Then we learned to walk in love. Now we're learning to give. And that's how they take you. Because it's step by step. Elisha had to be following Elijah step by step. So, I mean, we follow. Very important. Number three, we appreciate and encourage them. Stand with them in labor. Understanding and embracing the larger picture, the picture of the kingdom. Amen. Stand with them in the place of prayer. The Bible speaks about Philippians 2, about Epaphroditus. Philippians 2:25 says Epaphroditus. It's talking about him. It says, my companion in labor. Companion in labor. Paul and Silas. Paul and Timothy. Together. Companion. Because that brings refreshing. It brings refreshing. The road, as you've seen, is challenging. It's lonely. So when you are there with them, it makes it better. If you're not there, they will still do it. But it's better for them to be there with us. Amen? And we can pour water on their hand. We can refresh them. We can encourage them. And we do that by our lives. And then he says in at the end of verse 13, he says we must be at peace with one another. It's very important as we close. Peace with one another. It's very important. Having the parents, I mean, we're all parents. Even we're not parents, we're children of parents. Your parents are not happy when you're fighting. True or false? When there's strife and envy, and parents cannot be happy. So we must shun vainglory. Well, that's the beginning. Shun vainglory. You know, esteem others as better than you. Look after other people's interest. Be merciful to one another. Forgive others. Forbear. Forgive and forbear are not the same. Forgive means I forgive you. Forbear means I still put you near me. That's where you are going to die now. You don't want to die. So that you can. So you want, that's the affliction. You're not going the way they went. God just gave you a smaller version of the exam. It's easy and they put one time paper there. You know how many time paper they have born and some people that have gone and they've taken it as they've done it for the Lord. Amen. So the one that's with you is an opportunity. See it the way God sees it. It's an opportunity to apprehend that love, that depth of humility, that depth of obedience, that depth of the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. So that you can actually follow in their path. It is when we walk the way they walk that we have true unity. True unity is not something we can arrange. It's by following after. And the unity brings refreshing and ultimately it brings glory. John chapter 17. As we round up. John 17. 21. Amen. That they may all be one in love. Understand it. One in love. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may also be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent us. The unity causes the world to believe. Next verse. Verse 22. And the glory follows that unity. That's why it's really forbearing. So when you are forbearing and you are accepting the apology again, 70 times 7. I forgive you. God will help you. And God will have mercy. But you know, we have to do it with understanding. You keep washing feet actively. You wash at a rate that is faster than the person can sin. Amen. You wash their feet at a rate that is faster. How do you do it, Pastor? With our thoughts. No, we pray four times a day, at least four times a day. Mark, no, we do that, four times a day. Then the rest is with your thoughts. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. I walk in love. I forgive her. Ask life for her. Pray for her. And move on. And again, she comes to me. Again, another point to pray. All you do is just think about it and it's done. Amen. Just think about it. And that's the power that God has given us. So that's the effectiveness. We wash other people's feet. And we are washing and washing. So the forbearance on the outside is easy to do. Because there's inner spiritual work being done. Let us pray. Amen. Let's talk to God. Walk in love. Follow after the example, sacrifice, deny yourself, forgive, forbear, spend time in prayer, follow the example, spend time in the Word. Study the messages that they don't just listen, praise God, but at first listen, study it. Because there are two levels. Holy Spirit can talk to you personally and give you revelation. And then you begin to grow. and then walk in love. Walk in love. But you can't walk in love if you're not well nourished. That word that they preach. Prayer regularly and consistently. Good morning, Jesus. Daily, weekly prayers as we grow spiritually. As we grow, you begin to pray for spiritual victory. Begin to pray for your work. Begin to pray for your family, your life partner. Things that as you grow. But more than you walk in the Spirit. So we can maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And prepare the atmosphere for the glory. Love divine, all love's excelling, joy of heaven to earth, come down, fix in us thy humble dwelling, all thy faithful mercies crown. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Visit us with thy salvation, enter every trembling. Come, Almighty, to deliver. Let us all thy life
suddenly return.
Suddenly return and never, never. Glory in thy birth, pray and praise thee, pray and praise thee, without ceasing. Glory in thy birth.
Let's raise up our right hand to the Lord, a sign that we need help, and the left hand on our heart. We glory in the perfect love of God. That's the source of, that's your glory, that you understand and you know Him. And that is what brings all the other blessings. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me that it is your desire for me to recognize, honor, appreciate, and encourage those whom you have set in authority over me. Particularly spiritual fathers who labor in the word, labor in deep intercession, and labor in the love and obedience of God. Help me, Heavenly Father, to esteem them very highly, to look out for them in the place of prayer, to give my tithe and my offering promptly and regularly, to honor them with my substance and the first fruits of my increase, to bring refreshing and encouragement to them as I stand with them as companions in the place of labor, bearing the same suffering that they bear, sharing in their suffering, that I can share in their glory. Help me, Father, to forbear my fellow brethren, washing feet consistently, fervently, and frequently, so that I will maintain the bond of love in peace and prepare ourselves as a temple prepared to carry the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may